Hello, my friends. This is Bishop Campbell welcoming you again to a short meditation on the theme of living the Catholic life. Today I want to speak with you about an experience that actually is common to every human person. Although I will speak about it in really very religious terms, it is an experience that is true of every person. Whether, in fact, they realize it or can define it, they will eventually experience something akin to it. And that is a profound desire for God. Now, they may not put it as baldly as that. Many of them first begin to feel it as a sense of longing for something that is good and powerful and true and lasting. But so often, because they do not understand fully where this longing comes from, they try to fill that sense of yearning, longing, and desire with other things to try to satisfy it. They often try the accumulation of material items, a larger boat, bigger house, more power in the economy. But there's always this enduring sense that this is not enough. I always remember the cartoon of Dennis the Menace that appeared every year on Christmas Day. It showed Dennis in the midst of a pile of torn wrappings and cut ribbons, and he's looking up at his father and saying, "Is this all?" Now, of course, you first look at it and you think, what a greedy little thing this kid is. But in fact, he's asking a profound question. Is this all? Is this all the reality of my human existence? The material things that are good insofar as they support my human life and my human dignity, but is this all? Unfortunately, in our own time, this longing and this yearning for a sense of permanence, for a sense of happiness and peace, is often satisfied through the abuse of other substances. And I speak about this longing, this desire, because this week we celebrate two saints' days that are always celebrated in conjunction. On the 27th is the feast of Saint Monica, and on the 28th is the feast of her son, Saint Augustine. And these two saints in their lives exemplify that powerful sense of yearning, of desire for that which is total, which is powerfully good, which is right, and which is lasting. And St. Augustine very famously wrote that our hearts are restless until they rest in God. And so much of the story of both St. Monica and St. Augustine is a sense of a journey, of moving, of looking, of yearning, of finding that thing that will satisfy their deepest desires. In the case of St. Monica, Augustine's mother, there was a desire that her son experience this fully by becoming eventually a full member of the Catholic Church. After all of his wandering, his intellectual pursuits, his life that he led. And in fact, throughout, Monica prayed, and not only prayed, but shed copious tears. My mother, if she were upset with any of her children, would always preface it by saying, "Ah, the tears of Monica." At first, I thought this may be some place in Europe. But in fact, as I went on and I discovered the lives of the saints, these tears of Monica were tears not only of disappointment in a child's meandering, but also one of longing, of a profound desire that a child reach his purpose, his goal in life, which is union with God. Saint Monica dedicated her life to guiding her son toward the truth and the peace of God. One is always trying to satisfy that hunger, but others are trying to guide that desire. Pray that that desire become fully realized. St. Augustine's great work in theology is supremely important. And in fact, his theological work, once he fully embraced the Catholic faith, became the basis for most Catholic theology in the Latin West for centuries. But his most popular work is his so-called Confessions. This is, in a sense, his autobiography, but it is a very powerful as well as a very unusual autobiography because the entire book is in the form of a prayer. Every sentence that was in it was addressed to our Heavenly Father. And it is in addressing himself to his Heavenly Father that St. Augustine laid bare, very honestly and truly, his life before his Heavenly Father. But the term confessions really can mean two things. We often, most commonly, speak of confession as a confession of sins, in the hope of receiving forgiveness and reconciliation. But the term confession also means to proclaim, as in the great Saint Edward the Confessor, that we are all really called to confess in both meanings. But that term confessions, that laying bare your soul before the God who has redeemed you and forgiven you, was an opportunity to speak in very profound and psychological terms about the whole character of conversion and life within God and searching for that ultimate sense of truth and peace. St. Augustine is often remembered for the sins of his youth. Although in his autobiography, many critics pointed out that he seems to have exaggerated the baseness of those sins, and especially the one that perturbed him later in his life, when as a young lad, he climbed over a garden wall to steal some pears from an orchard. Now, one would think, well, that's not the gravest matter for confession of sins, but for St. Augustine, he said the worst of it was that he stole those pears not because he was hungry, but simply because he wanted to break the moral law. Offensive to God and breaking his holy commands. And of course, for St. Augustine, there was a period of struggle, of failures. Sometimes he seemed to drift far, far away from authentic Christianity, only to be pulled back. And what is so remarkable about that journey is that throughout, there seemed to have been a necessary assistance granted to him from others. And from hearing what was told to him, or by seeing an example of authentic Christian life, especially Monica, whose life work was to make certain that her son became a faithful Catholic Christian. There was St. Ambrose, the Archbishop of Milan, who had a profound effect upon him. There were also fellow Catholics who really moved him very profoundly by their deep faith. And in fact, the final passage of his conversion occurred when he was at evening prayer in the Cathedral of Milan, and he heard the congregation chanting the Psalms. And he was so profoundly moved by that expression of faith and that devotion of the people that he became baptized and became Catholic. Now, of course, the whole point is how do we approach both ourselves and others in understanding that very deep desire innate in each one of us for that union with God. And I think of something that St. Paul said, and he said, faith comes from hearing. And then he asks, well, how will they hear unless there is someone to preach it? And it is a profound responsibility, I think, of the Catholic community to understand not only our very particular and grave responsibility for the good of our own soul, but our responsibility to call others to a realization of what lies already deep within their person. Speaking of the faith, living the faith, is an act of charity. And in that act of charity, we are called to allow others, by our lives, by the words we speak, to find the way and the truth and the life. And as part of that responsibility, I've always had a profound privilege of working with this marvelous radio station, St. Gabriel Radio, in speaking of our life in Christ, of allowing others perhaps to hear a word that might strike their own conscience and embed itself in their heart, and allow others to know the wondrous vision that has been given to us by God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Spirit, of a life fully realized, of a life that even now can be filled with a profound sense of reality, of truth, of goodness, and of deep peace. So I thank the radio station for its great work, and I pray God that it continue with your assistance, that good work of preaching the gospel, of living that gospel, and allow others to be touched by it.